Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The cost of something I would be. I know your anger. I know your dreams.
What's good, children? It's your boy, B-Train. And I'm sorry I'm late. Not really. Because here's the thing, man. Time frames on wrestling podcasts are subject to change just like cards on pro wrestling shows. Anyways, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification, ladies and gentlemen, right here on Off the Rails Uncensored. Get it right.
All you want to do is stop your face and be annoying. All you want to do with me is fight, 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 fight. All you ever do is make
folks, SmackDown Live, May 8th. So now that Daniel Bryan has been medically cleared to wrestle, I guess the biggest victory of the night was Rusev versus Daniel Bryan. You know what's funny is that some of the Money in the Bank qualifying matches have already taken place, and we've noticed that the matches last night, comparatively speaking to Monday Night Raw, bit different booking, but who cares? You know, I'm about to talk about quality of the match. So this is what SmackDown Live is shaping up to be. Becky Lynch versus Mandy. Are you fucking kidding me right now? Why should I mean, and this is, I'm just reading, sifting through the results. I didn't get to see SmackDown Live, so I'm sifting through results. So Daniel Bryan versus Rusev. Okay. Rusev ends up scoring a pinfall. No cast interference. Wow, that's an entertaining thought. Okay, so they're finally giving Rusev a chance. Shinsuke Nakamura. AJ Styles is nuts, but so am I. This is great. I love Nakamura. That's probably the only lone highlight of SmackDown Live. Cesaro versus Xavier Woods. Oh, wait, I forgot. I'm not going to do the stupid, you know, I wouldn't say stupid. I like this show. Cesaro versus Xavier Woods. Should have been a technical match all around. I saw the uppercut, the clip of the uppercut on Xavier Woods. And yeah, it's going to be interesting for Xavier to be chewing the next few weeks. Cesaro, this is, you know, the Swiss size. Cyborg, according to the notes. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I really didn't give Woods a chance in that one, so I know. The Miz beat Jeff Hardy as a Money in the Bank qualifying match. So it's Miz, Cesaro, Rusev. Yeah, I don't understand this. I don't understand most of the results, but, you know, they all ends have a meet, correct? SmackDown Live last night. I yet to watch the replay on Hulu, but I did just read from a card, so I'll be the judge of it when I see it. I don't know why all of a sudden, as I stretch out and contemplate SmackDown Live's results, not a big deal. I mean, Daniel Bryan's not past his prime in WWE. I mean, obviously, look at the dude. He lasted pretty long during the Royal Rumble in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. Now, I guess, and I say this nicely, an assumption, the role that he's playing right now in WWE is basically putting people over, and it's not a big deal. Rusev, though, in a Money in the Bank ladder match, who knows what's going to happen? You know, these men and women put themselves on the line in these type of matches. That being said, I wonder what the next set of qualifying matches are going to be, because since this is a co-branded WWE instead of a separate brand, which makes it kind of funny, because come Survivor Series, after Money in the Bank, after SummerSlam, you're going to co-brand it? My question is, how in the fuck are we supposed to keep up with this style of booking? It's not our jobs as fans, but it's true. How are we supposed to keep up? That's a good question. How are we supposed to keep up with the way WWE is doing things? I mean, look, guys, that's why I watch some of Evolve. That's why I watch a little bit of Ring of Honor, sprinkle of New Japan, and a dash of Impact sometimes. The amount of talent that comes through Impact is amazing, like Eli Drake, Matt Sydal. There's more than those two, I know that much. I know that Abyss occasionally will go to Impact, not all the time. But anyways, back to SmackDown Live. So now, who's doing this? Who is booking this, is my thoughts. Because you're not going to have a result that you want every show. I understand that. But to not give the opportunity to Shinsuke of winning a championship after he just won the Royal Rumble is like saying Shawn Michaels should have never won the championship at WrestleMania 12. In a moment that will be forever etched in history, by the way. And not just that, why I'm referring to this moment about Shinsuke Nakamura is because him and AJ working together is like a dream come true for us, you know, casual Mark wrestling fans. I don't get it. I honestly don't get it. Why it's, of course, should I not be surprised? I mean, it's hit and miss. It's never going to be consistent with what we as fans see as the correct booking for matches, especially Becky Lynch versus Mandy Rose. I'm sorry. Are we just basing this off of eye candy? Because what is the premise for, you know, putting Mandy Rose in a Money in the Bank ladder match? Is there some hidden talent that she has that we have yet to see? Same thing with Carmella. Nobody gave Carmella a shot, but really, what's the difference between her and Liv Morgan? They're both packaged the same gimmick. They both come from the same general vicinity in the East Coast. Of course, you know, Carmella was a Lakers girl. All these women have background. Point is, why would you ever put Mandy Rose over somebody that actually can fucking work and Becky Lynch? It's not up to us, right? We're just fans. We don't understand the inner workings of wrestling. We shouldn't. We should just be fans and stick to our our MO of just buying t-shirts and going to the concession stands, which are way overpriced. But the point I'm trying to make, folks, is SmackDown Live has questionable results just like Backlash. Questionable as in, okay, I kind of see where you are going with this as a company and this is the direction you are going, and this is not what fans should be enthralled in or interested in because we're just supposed to be the fans that have the IQ of 12. Let me fucking tell you something, guys. Watching Backlash was a chore. It was like watching a full episode of Monday Night Raw and not the condensed Hulu version. I love WWE. I love wrestling, period. I just have a hard time believing that some of the results, not all of them, I mean, I can understand Cesaro's victory. I can understand Rusev's victory on SmackDown Live. Hell, I can even understand The Miz. But Jesus Christ, man. Becky Lynch and Mandy Rose? And also Rusev Daniel Bryan has some question marks in some areas of as far as booking-wise goes. Maybe it's because fill in the blank. Because I'm not going to generally assume that they purposely book things this way, because after seeing the results that I just read online, I have to generally watch it to make sure that the show makes sense as far as, you know, visually seeing it versus reading a card. I'm just questioning the results because it makes my brain fucking hurt. Why are you putting, why would you, they gave Mandy Rose a victory. Oh my God, we're all going to die. No, it's Becky Lynch has more skill than Mandy. And for that to occur, okay, Rusev versus Daniel Bryan. Daniel Bryan could easily have put Rusev to shame, but I get where, from a business perspective, from the wrestling sport perspective, that Rusev is to go over Daniel Bryan because Daniel Bryan's already accomplished being a WWE champion. He's already won the opportunity, been through hell, you know, and back before Birdie was born. My question, though, is, if it's a 50-50 booking night, could you please warn the fans? Because you didn't do so at Backlash. We, you know, to watch the fans, you see the results, it leaves a lot of question marks. Why, I'm going to bring this point back up, why did you give the fans in Newark a match between Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe without Roman Reigns holding, or, yeah, having a championship around his waist for Joe to take away? There's a lot of questions and concerns about this because, boy, you know, I really at this point don't think Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn are succeeding on Raw, just like I don't think certain people on SmackDown Live are succeeding because, I mean, yes, they flip-flop rosters. Mojo Rawley is now on Raw, and now on SmackDown Live, you've got people running around like Absolution. Riot Squad basically flipped over to Raw. It's just a lot of pain and heartache in some areas, in my mind, because why would you want fans to buzz about your company in a way that's going to kind of help you? Because ratings-wise, gaining all the ratings and stuff from Hulu and Network and all that, watching Raw replay, watching the Hulu replay of SmackDown Live and Raw and also NXT. But I don't understand SmackDown Live's card in some instances, meaning I've watched several other SmackDown Lives when Jimmy Jacobs was helping write the promos and also helping the creative direction, creative side of things. Because he's got a brilliant mind, Jimmy Jacobs, that is. It just, you know, okay, so you adapt to the changes. I understand that, sir. But the thing is, I've watched this show, I've watched WWE as a company probably just as long as you have or longer. Oh, you're 19? Yeah, I've watched it 11 years more, and I'm still learning a lot about it. I just... For starters, I don't get why you bring back Big Cass and put him in a precarious position to be the bad guy, you know, to kick someone while they're down. I get that. That's fine. But when you put him in a role that's so minuscule and so bad that he has to beat up a midget during SmackDown Live, in Canada, and people are just waiting for him to get out of the ring because it was that terrible. Not only his promos, his in-ring stuff. For example, the Empire Elbow. Let's rip that to shreds, shall we? No, I'm not going to rip him apart because of moveset. I'm going to rip him apart because, or not rip him apart, that's bad phrasing. Dissect his role in the company. From a fan's perspective, from my perspective, so Big Cass comes into the company with Enzo. That kind of hindered him from ever having any kind of company growth as far as character. He wasn't even on the show, nor was Samoa Joe. I'm wondering, is there some kind of injury again that occurred, or is there some kind of thing that he just wasn't on the card? It's getting frustrating watching this shit sometimes because you watch NXT, you compare it to SmackDown Live. Each character or each wrestler has a role on the show. It's not set in stone. It's not etched in stone. It's not written, you're going to be this guy for a whole 3 months, and then we're going to go a different direction with you. I mean, it could, but it's not. Like I said, it hurts my brain because with this style of booking, having Rusev go over, I don't care who goes over and who doesn't, but it just makes you question. Like I said in yesterday's show, there's a lot of question marks that go through my mind. One of the main questions that I have is, if you have all this talent, this list of talent, and you're not doing a damn thing with it or with them, either the talent has a lot of patience and a lot of dignity, because if I were Samoa Joe or Sami Zayn or Kevin Owens, I don't know, I would probably be doing the whole I'm a patient saint type of thing, because maybe you never know, an opportunity could come up for Sami and Kevin to get the tag team titles. Maybe an opportunity for Samoa Joe to win the United States Championship may be in the runnings. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, begs the questions. When WWE gets a name, do they exploit them the proper way? Do they market them to their satisfaction? There's a lot of questions that go when Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, even when he's brought in, John Moxley or fucking Ambrose. There's a lot of things that fans will ask, like, man, I can't wait to see this, or I can't wait to see your style when you get to WWE. They don't, the bookers themselves, they do not condense your style. Maybe they do. A lot of people generally assume that it goes through one promoter or the other. There's only one promoter, actually two, when it comes to citing off facts about professional wrestling, and this is my take on this. Vince McMahon is not responsible for every single booking. However, if you take a look at who's running talent now, you guys might pleasantly be surprised. Michael P.S. Hayes, Jamie Noble, Joey Mercury, Brian Jesse James, Brian James. There's a lot of creative that don't have anything to do with booking, the way people plan out their matches. It just so happens this is the direction we like to go. This is where we're going. It makes one question, though. Who booked Backlash to be a shit pay-per-view? And the reason why the title reads, just going with it when it comes to fandom, because you never know when you get a good show, bad show, indifferent, in-between, don't-really-care type of show. And on that note, folks, we're going to start the advertisements. We're just putting them on here on Off the Rails Uncensored because why? I can. So, ladies and gents, if you would like to go to Monster Factory, July 20th and 21st, the dates are up to you. If you want to make your dreams of becoming a professional wrestler come true, you can do so by going to monsterfactory.org. I don't know if Danny still has the advertisement for $500 down. I can actually check the website on monsterfactory.org. One second, folks. Monsterfactory.org. Wow, that pops up on my browser, too. Okay, so according to this, the network returns. That's cool. So Danny Cage, oh, look, see, the deal ends when WrestleMania starts, so lifetime membership. Okay, so Russ, $995, $3,000 on tuition. Okay. there's a new app. Wow, okay. It came out. I'm really delayed on these advertisements. I should do better. But since March 19th of 2018, the Monster Factory has the app where you can click here to download. It's both iPhone-friendly and Android-friendly. If you want to have any information on birthday parties, camps and seminars, Danny Cage's blog, merchandise, Monster Factory Pro Wrestling, summer camp for kids, the Monster Factory Pro Wrestling itself, tickets and training and video content, please visit the website at monsterfactory.org. You can email Monster Factory. You know what? That's a pretty good deal. Tonight, you know, all kids under 12 free admission. So, Super Camp, 20th and 21st, the names that Danny has is a surprise. I don't know. May just put it on the website, monsterfactory.org. Make your dreams of becoming a professional wrestler come true, where the foundation of becoming a pro wrestler is built upon at Monster Factory. For any questions, any further questions, please contact Danny Cage directly on monsterfactory.org. His phone number is directly on the website, on the Monster Factory vehicle, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. All handles have the phone number for more information. For those of you wishing to fight the good fight against cancer, go to SusanGComan.org. Do the walks, the marathons, what have you. Kick cancer square in the ass today. Help your loved one, friend, or do it in memory of the loved one or friend or family member that you have lost. SusanGComan.org, also Cure for Connor. Website is located directly on WWE.com. Both websites are linked. You can donate money, buy and purchase to help a victim of or that is going through cancer. Fight for a cure. Also go to makeawish.com to make your child's wish come true. Type in the name of the superstar that you directly want to make contact with and make your child's wish come true today. That's makeawish.com, official sponsor of World Wrestling Entertainment. Oh, and if you'd like to become a member of WWE Network, you can get it for $9.99 a month, your first month free. You can visit your local GameStop, Dollar General's, Best Buy, 7-Elevens, and Walmart's. For your preloaded $29.97 card, that is 3 months. So if you go to, you know, your local places that have this, you can get a lot of information in more than just WWE. The network now allows information expanded upon Progress Wrestling, IWR, IWA Mid-South, Smoky Mountain Wrestling, Smoky Mountain Pro, AWA, NWA, USWA, TVWA, and so much more on the network for a limited time, not really. You, like I said, it's not for limited time. For real, though, you have to have a valid username, which would be your email, a valid password, one that you can put in your notes on your phone. Go to WWE.com. Subscribe to the network and get the most out of your professional wrestling fandom. All right, folks, that's the perfect segue. Enter into B-Train's thoughts, my thoughts. If... Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of something I would be. So we're going to continue on the subject of just going with it when it comes to fandom. And most people don't understand the whole gist of fandom compared now to wrestling fandom back then. Some may not have changed their viewpoints on WWE. Some may have. The only reason why it's a successful company is, you fill in the fucking blank, because I'm not going to fill it in for you. I'm just merely a podcast host that fills in my thoughts, folks. If you don't like it, you can shove it up your ass. And the reason why I say this is because as a wrestling fan, you just to go with it, shut your pie hole, and enjoy the fucking show, right? Because no one likes a complainer, from what I understand. I'm sitting here watching Backlash with a good friend of mine of 15 years. And what do I see or witness Most of the matches I could barely stand to fuck watch. And here's why. Because Backlash over the last few years has proven to be one of those, okay, it was really good, it was really bad, what was it, man? Pay-per-views. Wrestling fandom as a whole. You know, you can enjoy stuff, commiserate with other people, and be able to report wrestling as it should be, man, as enjoyable to just watch as it's hard. It's hard sometimes watching as a fan because if you've been on the other side, even if it was for a brief 2 years, you kind of know not everything, but you see through your own eyes what wrestling becomes. I don't like dabbling in, well, this person booked this wrong, and that promoter doesn't, and in some instances, some promoters really shouldn't be promoters, because if you want my honest opinion on what fandom is like for a wrestling fan now, it's very hit and miss. It's all about flavors of ice cream, as Les Thatcher put it at Monster Factory Camp in April. You got to have your comedy shows, you got your comedy bit, gimmick. You got to have your serious, strong style, I'm going to kick your ass type gimmick. You don't have to have a bunch of gimmicks, let me tell you, to be successful. Although back in the 90s, that style of wrestling was completely different because you didn't see very many independents getting the recognition that indies are getting now, because that's where they found Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, and just Samoa Joe, right? I mean, look. Wrestling fandom now versus wrestling fandom back then? Are you kidding me? At least back in the day, you had WCW to reference off of. You had ECW to say, what the fuck? It was an awesome time to be a wrestling fan. It's still an awesome time to be a wrestling fan. What I don't understand is, how can you go from having phenomenal bookings and phenomenal shows to making fans question, what the fuck are you doing? Like, how do you do that? I mean, obviously, if you're so out of touch with the fans and you're doing things based off of your way as a promoter, it's a catch-22. You can be successful in the fact that numbers don't lie, but figuring out why Backlash was so bad, and so was WrestleMania 34, in all honesty. A lot of phrases like, I want my money back. Okay, I enjoyed this part, but I didn't enjoy this part of the show so much at WrestleMania 34. Not only that, the Royal Rumble. The Royal Rumble is probably the best pay-per-view of the entire year. Now, the one in Jeddah, guys, when the highlight of the entire fucking show is when Titus O'Neil goes all the way through the ring apron, and that kind of woke us all back up during that. I mean, I was kind of annoyed at, you know, the greatest Royal Rumble simply because, yes, it's supposed to be a spectacle, and yes, Roman Reigns lost to Brock Lesnar. It was very long, and it was very special for it to be in Saudi. I get it. But, like, I'm going to ask this question to you guys. Do you think that fandom will still exist? Because what I mean by that question is, do you think wrestling fandom, the type of wrestling fandom exists today that existed back then? I don't think so. But at the same token, that's not going to stop me from watching current product. I'm relaying this to you as a broadcast journalist. Wrestling fandom, the trials and error portion of it is, Sometimes you'll have a good show, sometimes you'll have a bad show. Do you think the workers don't know that their show looks bad or good? No. All they know is their bodies are intact, they're getting paid, and they're making investments in themselves. Whenever I have a discussion with other wrestling fans, it's kind of hard because everyone's set in their opinion, and if you oppose them, basically you get the go fuck yourself mode from some people, not all. So this generation of wrestling fans has now been watered down to a PG Disney-like feel to it. Just when it was getting violent and getting, you know, great again, it gets watered down and neutered right back into a theme of best of both worlds, which is very much like, okay, did somebody watch Hannah Montana and decide this is going to be... I like the theme. Don't get me wrong. I love the theme. And I like the fact that the superstars made that video, which may have been cheesy, but it works. Anyways, guys, back to the subject. Fandom. Wrestling fandom. Is it going to matter if you cheer for Ring of Honor or WWE or New Japan? And this question gets asked pretty much half the time that I'm on here, Wrestle Radio, or Off the Rails. My take on that is, if you're a wrestling fan, it's universal. Whether you're WWE Mark, Ring of Honor, Progress, Imperial Wrestling, it doesn't matter. Metro Pro, KCXW, it's universal. It's a universal feel to it. I really liked your show. I want to come back again. I really liked your show. I enjoyed when you guys had this match or that match. That's the type of fandom, like I said, that's universal. And if you can't see it that way, then okay, I'm going to steal a line from Danny Cage. Go fuck yourself. Because wrestling fandom should not be confined to one group. There's people like that, though. There's people like that that say, okay, well, you suck because you cheer for WWE, or you suck because you cheer for Progress. Again, I always have a hard time believing that there's one type of fandom etched in fucking stone. There's another thing. Hashtag wrestling fandom. Yeah, and just going with it, meaning we'll listen if you have something to say about wrestling fandom, but I will not listen to someone dash or slash or completely berate another fan because they're a fan of somebody. So I like just going with it now because it allows me, the fan, to choose who I like, not to be forced to choose who I like and what I'm supposed to like. That's a mistake promoters make. They know, if you know your audience and how they'll react, you're a fucking brilliant genius. But if you're a dude who assumes, or a gal who assumes you know what wrestling fans will want to see, you better be one hell of a scientific genius to perpetuate your fucking results or audience, you know, satisfaction. Because here's the thing. I'm just going with it right now as a fan because I know in my heart of all hearts that as a longtime wrestling fan, just going with the flow, just watching how things are presented on SmackDown Live, Raw, NXT, Ring of Honor, Evolve, House of Hardcore, you name it. I'm just going with the fucking flow. I like asking and, you know, inquiring, more like it, about why things were done a certain way. That's just the type of fan that I am. It's because, like I said, some of you will not fucking understand until you go on the other side of the spectrum and say that you trained or that you actually were part of a fucking show, whether it be a shit show or a backyard or whatever. If you're a part of a backyard show, you can sit the fuck down. And if you say that I'm a fan of this because I can do this move, please go to a wrestling school and actually learn. Your fandom is not, you know, well known. It's just annoying to see certain type of fans try to be elitist before you even get through the fucking door at a wrestling show. I now know that when, you know, you're a worker and you see things from different perspective, like, or you learn things from a different perspective, you have more appreciation for the show itself. Even if it's, you know, I don't have appreciation for Backlash, I'm not going back on my word about them, or about, not them, but the show itself. Because here's what I believe. If you're a wrestling fan in today's world, you get laughed at. You get told, oh, you watch that fake shit? My son used to watch it when he was little. So fucking what? That's the, you know, that's why I titled this show, Just Go With It, because, or Just Going With It, because as a wrestling fan, you don't get very much opportunity to smile if you're a fan of a certain genre or a company. If you watch most of the shows right now, like Evolve, Revolver, you watch New Japan or Noah or Dragon Gate or WLW, whatever it may be, you see a pattern sometimes. And then some, you know, some of the characters are notable. Like in New Breed Wrestling, you've got Duke Cornell, you've got Kurt Gannon, you've got Leland Race. You've got a variety of talent to watch from, to look at, to be hopeful about. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. When you are a wrestling fan, you're committed to liking what you like and being who you are and cheering for who you want to cheer for. Not, you guys should cheer for this guy because he's our champion and you get to have him shoved down your throats for the next 3 years or 2 years. See, I couldn't fit in a long-ass or long-winded title about how certain people miss the boat when it comes to us fans. It's give or take. You get what you get what you take out of it. So what I take out of this whole thing is being a wrestling fan, you just go along for the ride and you hope and pray that you get good wrestling shows. So far in the type of companies that I watch, you see different results. And I'm so happy that Keith Lee is, you know, part of that demographic, is in different results. A big guy that can actually fucking do high-flying maneuvers. Shocking, right? I have a question from, interesting, David from Portland, Oregon. I did not know Oregon listens to my shows, but cool beans, man. Awesome. Do I think the booking of Rusev and Daniel Bryan was misplaced? I don't necessarily think so, my friend. I think that Daniel Bryan is definitely putting others over, which makes him, I guess, have a very different role than what he had back in 2011. I couldn't answer that directly. You'd have to ask him. And you know, you have direct link to his social media, so if you go on his Twitter handle and ask him a question or send him a personal message, I'm pretty sure that that's for the thousands of times the notifications that he has on his phone. I'm pretty sure he can answer that question directly. Next question is Martha from Topeka, Kansas. I remember you at a GPW show. I thought you had a very good swagger about you for a heel. I wish you would come back. That's the first recognition I've had on here. Wrestle underscore radio or B-Train 05000 is the link for you If you have any questions, send them directly to those Instagrams. Twitter is Wrestle_Radio. I'm working on an account right now. It's undergoing a lot of makeovers. So it's a lot of shit to undergo and undergo. Oh, a lot of questions. Anyways, back to the topic at hand, ladies and gentlemen. I will answer all your questions later at Wrestle_Radio or BeachTrain05000. Make sure that you send your questions there or WrestleRadioNetwork.com/Facebook. I've never really had an issue as far as being a wrestling fan sometimes, but yes, to answer your question, Matt, I do get into a lot of arguments with certain fans, certain types of fans, because they're the type to go and read everything and believe everything that they read. I shame Dave Meltzer because it must be true. He's like the worm. He's like the fucking mole that you want to just bash upside the head for relaying stuff online. Spoilers. Is he responsible for the sole purpose of screwing up a good WrestleMania? No. Because fans generally assume, some fans, not all, some. Being a wrestling fan has been talked about so many times on this show, but you know what? It has a special flavor now because I've been through venues. Does that make me an expert on being a wrestling fan? No. I've been through several WrestleManias. Does that make me an expert on, you know, just going with the flow? No. What it makes me a non-expert is the fact that I just want to keep learning about professional wrestling as I go along. You know, I've been on journeys to everywhere except for Tennessee, surprisingly. I've driven through there. I've flown through there. I just think that it's hard to watch it as a fan and not actually be a part of the show. That's to answer your question. Denise from Cincinnati, Ohio. It definitely is different when you're a worker, referee, manager, slash whatever, because here's the thing. You watch it from the perspective of, okay, well, I see what they're doing. Okay, the shine was good. The heat was great. The crowd was into it. I start thinking from a worker's perspective sometimes. Now, when I watch the sequence of events or the cycle of events, you know, about Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, I start thinking to myself, and to be generally honest, it's hard being a wrestling fan seeing guys that you not idolize, but, I mean, the credentials. You see the credentials that Samoa Joe has versus Roman Reigns' credentials in wrestling, and you're like, well, how the fuck does he not go over? It's ridiculous. It is fucking ridiculous. It's like Brock Lesnar is Roman Reigns' kryptonite. So how do you just go with the flow about that as the fan? People always say it's best to be a silent person when it comes to if you want to work for them eventually. I'm not bashing them. I'm just questioning. That's the thing. You can still go with the flow and question things if you have a legitimate reason to. If you don't have a legitimate reason or backing to question WWE, then by all means, please shut your ass up. I spent money on them. Is that a reason so they owe me an explanation? No. But they do owe the fans answers in some areas. Like, why did you bring in AJ Styles and Shinsuke Nakamura if only you're going to party around and parlay, giving AJ the championship, which is no problem? Shinsuke Nakamura, are you teasing it? Are you giving the fans a teaser? That's why, I mean, I'm just going with the flow and trying to figure shit out at the same time. So in other words, why, how, when, what, why, where? wrestling fandom will always be in question in some areas. They will always have questions from fans as into, okay, what are we getting from the product itself? What kind of show are you trying to show us? How are you relating to your audience? Are you trying to relate it in a way that's only for kids? What age demographic are you fucking trying to relate to? Second, you know, what are we supposed to do? Are we supposed to just sit there and be like, okay, we've taken our punishment, Daddy. We want out of timeout. Daddy is being, you know, creative booking and, you know, talent relations and all that. There's a whole laundry list. There's a whole laundry list of questions that come out whenever you have a show like Backlash, whenever you have a show like WrestleMania 34 in Nollins, and, you know, you're still left lingering with lingering questions as a fan, like, what the fuck? And then, you know, later on we forget about it, and then we find another show to bitch about. A Monday Night Raw show that was 3 hours long, condensed into an hour and a half. So not only that, but NXT is only an hour long or less than that some nights. I mean, they really condense a two-hour taping into an hour and a half because there's some dark matches that you don't get to fucking see. Then you go to Evolve, the fandom through Evolve, with Matt Riddle, Darby Allin, Ethan Page, Jeff Cobb, so on and so forth. You just got to, I mean, I guess wait it out, be patient. You know, the whole nine when it comes to being a wrestling fan, when it comes to watching TV, live tapings, going to live events, I will say is different than actually watching it on the network or watching it on Flow Slam or Monster Factory Network, whatever. It irritates me, though, when people say, I know what the fans are going to say. I know what the fans are going to do. No, you don't. Some of you. And then if you're that fucking clueless about how fans are going to react or respond, my response to you is we pay money, our money. We take time off work to go see a show. We sacrifice. Maybe not as much as the workers. Maybe not, you know, we don't spend time away from family and sacrifice time from our children and stuff. But what I'm saying is, just going with it in hashtag wrestling fandom, the reason why I titled that, folks, is because here it is. Being a wrestling fan, you get made fun of, not only that, but you have to deal with shit shows that proves the naysayers, fuck them, correct in some instances, because if I just see somebody talk for 20, 22 minutes, are they trying to introduce something? Are they trying to feud with somebody? Are they trying to start shit? What is the deal? Also, it makes wrestling fandom all the more harder to be a part of, because if you base your fandom off of results of every show, and then it'll get harder for you to be positive about anything. So just going with it, it's a lot easier because then I have options. I don't have to just stick to WWE. I can be a fan of whomever I want to be a fan of because I know that's where Triple H, and I know that's where certain talent scouts aside, Steve Corino, there's a lot that will come to independent shows because they hear a buzz about somebody. If you base your fandom off of live results on a show, you're not going to be, I'm just telling you from experience, you're not going to be a happy camper. You're going to be bitter. You're going to be angry, and you're going to be upset. Then you base your fandom off of commiserated opinion, which gets highly fucking irritating, because then you have to deal with, okay, so this happened at Backlash, and I'm going to base my entire fandom off of Backlash alone. No, I have other shows that I can, you know, commiserate off of when it comes to reviewing wrestling shows, like Wrestling Revolver this weekend. I can base my fandom off of that And I can literally say, I liked this, but I didn't like this. So, ladies and gentlemen, I promise you I'm going to have Amaya Jade on soon. I've been saying that since WrestleMania. We kind of had miscommunication schedule-wise, so whenever I got the time, which is soon, she's going to be a guest on my show pretty fairly soon. Keyword, soon. Not assuming, I'm just telling. Oh, and continuing the tirade about how to deal as a wrestling fan, it's like Ronnie Nicole constantly said, and this is a point from yesterday, it is none of your business to assume that you are a part of the back. You're not a booker, you're not a promoter, you're not a wrestler. So, it's easy to say that you hate something as a wrestling fan because, I mean, look, the general direction of wrestling fandom works like this. I like Charlotte, but I hate Ruby Riott. Yeah, just using this as examples. Or how long do you think Carmella's going to hold the title? You think she'll give it up at Money at the Bank? Or Money in the Bank? And I probably responded nicely, like, well, they got to give Carmella room to breathe as a champion. They got to see where her general direction goes as a worker, you know, how well she can pull off the title. You seldom have a heel as a champion is kind of a farce because in other indie organizations, I mean, Sami Callihan has been a heel and a champion. I mean, there's lots of examples. Jesse Havoc, which, you know, she mainly works face, but she could also work heel depending on where she goes. So, yes. Being a wrestling fan, some people make fun of fans. They're like, oh, just marks. Just going with it, I just promptly respond, you know, I know terms, but that doesn't make me an expert in the area of being in the business as a fan or as a former manager. But let me tell you this. To the people who use that term loosely, more power to you, because you are the idiots who have forgotten just how a wrestling fan really is supposed to feel. There are those of us who are smartened up and who have worked the other side of the spectrum and are known as a worker, may not be an expert, may not be a champion, may not be well known, and has, in your words, a shit show for a podcast. But understand this. I just go with it, man. I just go with the flow because here's the thing. I hear so many set opinions and so many imposed opinions in wrestling, it's not even fucking funny anymore. Because no matter what you say, it's like discussing politics or fucking religion. You're not going to change somebody's mind on how they are a fan or who they're a fan of. Trust me, it's kind of funny when people try to change their input on who they like and force themselves to be something they're not. I don't give out advice. I just give out, you know, my observations and my opinions. My observation is, holy fuck, sometimes, and my opinions are, well, they vary. But when it comes to wrestling fandom, you cannot tell a fan how to feel. You cannot lose yourself by saying, oh, the marks, blah, 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 blah. That's a very derogatory term for fans. Only certain fans deserve said title because they believe that in their mind, they're never wrong. That's when I would start using terms when it comes to wrestling fandom, when especially a fan, ooh, can I touch your cane? It's kind of cool that you get recognition. But at the same token, when it comes to wrestling fandom, promoters, workers, please remember that you used to be a fan as well and you had inspiration. But when you use the term mark loosely, as it was if it were water, Think of it this way. If it weren't for those said marks that annoy the fuck out of you in not a bad way, but in a way that you just talk to you or try to talk to you, it's because, one, wrestling is all they have left. And it is good to them or bad to them. It's all about how you made the fan feel. They'll never forget, they will forget a bad match, but us fans, we won't forget how you make us feel. So don't assume that you know what a fan wants unless you've heard their reaction during the show. And you know what type of fans you have, great. You have familiarity. The mistake you make is assuming the fans will want that every time. So yeah, that was, you know, they're trying to mix messages here. Different type of flow to Off the Rails Uncensored. Kind of, sort of. I didn't go off tangent or on a single tirade rant like I usually do. But you know what? Don't assume you know what I'm going to do on my show. Because the thing about me, man, is I like going off the rails when it's the right time. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. I got to eat. Toodles, bitches.